Feel free to take a seat or actually stand with me if you would like to. Annika's going to help us sing this morning, at least for a few minutes. So I just want to invite everyone to come with me to the feet of Jesus and lay everything from this past week at his feet. I'm just so thankful for so many things. This week was a good excuse to find all the things that we're thankful for. But this morning, I'm just so thankful that it doesn't depend on us, that we don't come before his throne because we had a great week and we did everything right and we read enough and prayed enough and everything. Thank God he helps us to do those things, but that's not how we have our confidence to come before his throne, and I'm so thankful. Why don't you come up here? We can sing one or two songs together, okay? Are there very many children here today? A few? Do you guys want to stand up here? Okay. Does anyone have a song in their heart that they really want to sing to Jesus today? Okay.
Jesus, please.
But I'm wondering if maybe we should do that one next week. Does anyone have another one? Do you have any other ones you like? What?
Amazing Grace.
That's a really good one. Let's see if ABCD is also a really good one. Let's just do one more, though.
ABCD.
I know. I like that one, too. Maybe we can sing that later. But. Okay. Let's do... Do you guys know the song that says, "We've got so much to be thankful for"?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that one before? Let's just do it together without the piano. So you put your hands together like this. And then we're going to say how many things we have to be thankful for. Is it just a tiny bit?
No.
It's so much. So we're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger each time, okay? So we've got so much, 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 so much to be thankful for. Can you do that with me?
No, I don't want to.
Okay. Well, the others will do it. We've got so much, 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 so much to be thankful for. And then we can say all the different things. We've got our sisters to be thankful for. We've got our brothers to be thankful for. And our mommies and daddies to be thankful for. We've got so much to be thankful for. We've got so much, 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 so much to be thankful for. Good job. Okay. Thank you. You can go back to your
Good morning to each of you. Glad to see everyone here this morning. Glad you were able to come out this morning. Thanks, Christy, for those songs this morning. I know if you some of them were like old hymn, but very, very powerful words in those songs. And I very much appreciated that. It went very well with our theme today, having communion and all. In the order of the service this morning, a little bit. We're not going to have the children's lessons due to time and everything. But then we have Brother Ali sharing the word with us. And then we have Christopher being kind of in charge of the communion service then as well. As usual, we do have lunch following the service. So please feel free to hang around and partake in that. This week we have the men's upcoming Bible study at John's house Wednesday night at 6:30. In your bulletin, you have the youth fellowship night coming up. Ali just said it's not this coming Friday night, but next weekend. A Sunday afternoon, evening, whatever. But Ali will be sharing that to come on the youth chat, whatever, with more details. And as usual, prayer the Saturday morning. Here at church at the 7 a.m. Looks like we do have a few birthdays in the month of December. I know it's a Ukrainian or whatever. Nathaniel, Michael, and Blake. So happy birthday. And why don't we sing happy birthday? Amen. Well, I know y'all got that happy birthday song. Just a regular happy birthday. Okay. Sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to all of you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Happy birthday. It's kind of reminding like my dad and I always said, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I just want to be 16. I want to be 18, 21. But birthdays are really, truly a blessing. And, you know, and it just, it's another year that God has granted to us and given us life. So this time, I guess before we turn the time over to Brother Lee, let's just bow our head for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness to us. Lord, it's because of you that we're here this way, gathered in this way this morning. It's all because of you, Father. We thank you in this time of the year and season, not only this time, but it's a time of reflection, of thanksgiving and gratitude and gratefulness within our hearts, Father, of all the goodness that you have given to each one of us. Lord, I just want to lift up our brother Ali. Father, I just ask that you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit, anoint his tongue. And Lord, just help us to have open hearts, Lord, that we can receive from your word. Lord, that we can be encouragement and inspiration and a blessing to one another, not just here in behind these doors, but in our community. Lord, I just thank you again for your love, and we ask this in your name. Amen.
Am I on? Yep. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
My apologies here. I got one more announcement. I guess, ladies, if you want to say a cup of Christmas tea, Wednesday night, December 11 at 6 p.m. here at the Redeemed Community Church. So for you ladies, it says, bring a plate of your favorite goodies and a small gift. And a small gift one of the other ladies would enjoy. So if you need more details, get with Christy and Jenny, I guess, for more details, I guess. So, yeah, just for you ladies, December the 11th in the evening here at Redeem. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother, for the announcements. Before we start, we got a text this morning from Jonathan. Well, from his wife, actually. I honestly don't know what happened. Did the text say I missed that part? What's going on?
He's
just sick. Well, he's sick.
He's sick.
I'm sorry. He's sick. For some reason, I don't know why I thought his back. He hurt his back. That came to my mind, but maybe my head was somewhere else. I don't know. Let's just pray for Jonathan right now. Father, we pray for our brother Jonathan. I don't know what's going on with his body, but we just pray for healing.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, please be with him.
Yes.
Bless him. Help him today. Take that sickness, pain away, whatever it is, Lord. Please be with him. Give him strength. That he knows that you are with him, that you have control over everything. Bring peace to his heart and his wife also and the family around. Father, I also pray for Henry and Leah
yes.
as they travel to visit family. Please bless them. We be them. Just protect them during this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to diminish the sickness. I just sick. Okay, well, I have actually, you know what, Brother Day was praying, especially the last few words, were like right on spot of what I want to share with you today about not only receiving a word and keeping it here, but taking it out there. You will see why at the end, why I mean that. But before that, I would like to remind ourselves, and this is an easy one because I remind you and myself of this a lot, about our hearts being transformed by God, right? How many of you have heard that from me anyways? Right? Our hearts being transformed, our minds being transformed, our understanding being transformed to be more like Jesus, you know? And as I'm going in this journey of understanding this in myself. By the way, What I'm preaching today is something that the Lord is talking to me. If it applies to you, it's just coincidence. Okay, so because I honestly don't, I mean, I know you and I know a few things about you, but not everything about you that I will be able to tell you specifically, like, hey, bro, you have this. Hey, sister, you have that. You know, I mean, if it is the case that something is going on and we will need to talk to you, you know, we'll do it with love. We'll do it with love because we love you and because we care about you. But what I want you to see today is not that I'm trying to say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. Not in that way. But if the Lord is talking to you, take it. All right? So as we've been going through this idea, concept, I'm going to call it, of our hearts and our minds being transformed, I found the book of James. I know. Was that a coincidence or not? I don't think so. But I found the book of James, and it just challenged me so much. And then the next book is 1 Peter, and then 2 Peter. So it's just like, on top of it, it's adding more to the pile of good things, right, that I was already listening to. And I want to share that with you. So how many of you, let's use this guy just for fun. Let me use it. That way we can see we already took advantage of it. But this time I'm going to use it, not like Phil last time that he said, I'm going to make some notes, and he didn't, okay? So let's do it this way. And I'm going to, wow, so much technology here. Oh, the markers are here. So how many of you have heard of this word? I hope you can understand my faith. Sister Faith, yeah, right? That's okay. It looks a little bit weird, but it's okay. Faith and works. Anybody? Amen, right? Everybody has heard those two words. So, I've been challenged this couple days, weeks, about these two particular things. And I have discovered that we can have this one without this one, and we can have this one without that one. But in the Bible, as you read and invest time in the Word of God, you will discover that these two go together. I know, it's already challenging, right? Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you see this one, okay, or what comes to your mind when you see this one. But I'll tell you something really quick. This one, who can tell me a definition of this one? Do you remember what this is? What does the Bible say about faith? Believe in things that you haven't seen, right? So this one is a belief. Right? The definition that I found is that you believe something, hope for something that without a proof, which is kind of crazy, to be honest, according to that definition. And how about this guy over here? What can you tell me about that?
To do good works.
To do? Yeah. I'm going to call it actions. Do you agree with me that you can have this one without this one and the other way around? It's easy. It's super easy. And we've been at some point, probably, we came here and we thought, I'm going to go this one. I have to do this one. Otherwise, something is wrong. Or some people might just go straight over here. How many of you know people? They are not believers. They are not Christians. They are amazing people with high morality. That this thing, they're amazing, but they don't have this one, right? So, I feel like we have been understanding about our hearts being transformed, okay? That I got this, I'm going to say, warning from God that I should not stay in this one. Not only in this one, but that I need to go to this one. It's an action. It's something active. Believing or my faith in Jesus will always lead us here. Now, it's up to us. Remember that we have free will. It's up to us to go in that direction or not. Now, there is a lot of things that can go in the works section that, you know, I think the Holy Spirit will let you know exactly. I'm just going to talk about a few of them. Okay, but before that, let me read a section to you in James. Let's go to the book of James, which, funny thing is, in Spanish, the book of James is not called James. It's very strange. I don't even know how, what happened. I mean, you know, because, I mean, Pedro, that's close, or at least that's the translation, but in Spanish it's Santiago. Which is fascinating to me. I just noticed that. So it's kind of strange. Anyways, side note. James chapter 1, let's go to verse 19. I'm gonna read one portion and then jump to another side. So know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's good. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Just remember that. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you only hear the word of God but don't do it, you're actually deceiving yourself. And I don't know if you remember, but we talked a lot about being deceived at some point in our lives, that we believe things that were wrong, right? And that it is way harder to convince somebody that they've been deceived than to deceive them, which is hard. So, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. That is odd. But the one who looks into the perfect law, I like this part. Check this out. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. What a beautiful law. We are under the law of liberty. What a blessing. What a blessing. And perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Woohoo! Acts. Somebody. Actions. Active. He will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not... what is that word? Bridle his tongue, but deceive his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. How about that? Just that by itself. I don't know about you, when you hear something and you, what's the word, examine yourself, I'm going to say, right? And you start to analyze yourself, okay, where am I at? I'm listening to this, am I in the right spot? Am I in the right place? Or am I in the wrong place? Right? For instance, when you, let's say something is off with your body, you're sick. What do you do? Well, you go to the doctor because he's the expert. And the doctor tells you, well, you know, you have, I don't know, whatever name of a disease, something. And the way to cure this is to eat cucumbers. I don't know where that came from, but there is something going on over there. I'm making this up, by the way. So you need to eat cucumbers. How many of you would intentionally start eating cucumbers? I would. I don't want that disease in me. I don't want that sickness, right? That makes sense. Now, This is the case. This is the case when there is something wrong, when there is something off. Now, I'm hoping our understanding is in a place that when we read the Word of God, or when we listen to the Word of God, when we learn something from the Word of God about a sin that you have in your life, I'm hoping that we are not only being hearers, but doers. That we're walking away and repenting from this sin that is separating my relationship with the Lord, and I'm walking away from that towards a place in which my life is pointing to Jesus. Right? So, is that clear? Okay, because right now I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about sin itself. Of course, if there is sin in your life, in your heart, brother, sister, there is time to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent because that is separating you from the Lord. You need to walk away from that. Repent and walk away from that sin. That is taking action, in this case about sin. But how about good things? How about good things that we can do but we're not doing? I mean, in the case of sin, it makes sense, right? But how about good things? And I have one single, very simple example that I'll share with you in a minute here. But before that, I want to share with you, I dare to say, let me sit here because it just feels cool. I dare to say this is one of the most interesting conversations I ever had in my life. And I'm not trying to make it super special. I'm being honest, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday, first of all, I met a guy from the Middle East not very long ago. Randomly, I met this guy. I loved him from the beginning. He's a super nice guy. Very, very nice guy. He's from the Middle East. Yesterday, I spent one whole hour without interruption talking to him. Okay? Very nice guy. Very kind. But I want to know if he's a Muslim. Because, you know, that's the main religion in that area. Okay? And I'm trying to find a way to ask him, are you a Muslim? I want to know, you know, because I've never met a Muslim before. Okay? So the conversation is going. We're talking about stuff. We're talking about sports. We're talking about everything, food, you name it, whatever. And then I saw the opportunity to ask him, you know, and I was open about it. So, okay, so, you know, what's the main religion in your country and stuff? And oh, well, you know, Islam. So are you a Muslim? He said, yes. And I was like, in my case, again, this is my first time talking to a Muslim. You know, so it was like a new thing for me. I was excited, to be honest. And I was like, oh, wow. So what can you tell me about it? Can you explain to me? And he started to explain things that I was like, wow. I never heard that before in my life. And he said something that just... my mind just blew like crazy. He told me, my religion, it is actually very simple and very easy. And I'm like, please, elaborate. What do you mean by that? He told me, everything is based in works, in actions. If at the end of your life, the number of good things that you did is more than the number of bad things that you did, you made it. You made it to heaven. And I'm like, are you serious? You know, I mean, I'm trying to be respectful, right? But in my head, I'm thinking, are you serious? I was just like, really? Wow. So how does that work? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's like basically counting points. It's like counting points. You make a good thing, and you have a bad thing, okay, you're even. So you need to make another one. Unless the good thing is like way too good compared to the bad thing that you did. Right? And he was starting to explain, like, yeah, for instance, you know, I mean, I drank alcohol the other day, so that I'm not supposed to do that. Or I ate pork. And, you know, so he's explaining, elaborating in what he believes. And I'm fascinated by that. So and he told me, even if you read the Quran, is that the name of the book? Quran. For each letter of the Quran that you read, it's like you get a good point. And I'm like, really? He's like, yes. For each letter of the Quran that you read, you get a good point. And he was like, even if you listen to it, you know, if you listen to it, you're getting good points. And I'm honestly, like, at the point of laughing, I'm like, you have to be kidding me. You guys believe that? I didn't say that, by the way, okay? I'm just listening to him. And I'm like, wow. I never expected something like that, to be honest. That their religion was based on that. So I told him, okay, so then basically, if before you die, you know, your balance, you have more good things than bad things, you basically made it to heaven. And he's like, yeah, unless you go to Mecca, which is the place where they have their, I don't know if they call it church or whatever, the most holy place, the most holy place. He told me, if you go to Mecca, you are automatically, you know, you go to Mecca, do the ritual, the prayer and all that stuff, you're automatically saved. From that moment, he's like, when you go out of that place, when you go out from Mecca, you are as holy as you can be. Just because you went to Mecca and said that prayer, you are as holy. I mean, in that point, he said, you are like in the highest point in your life. And I asked him, do you go to Mecca yet? He's like, no, but one day I will. So going to a place makes you holy, saves you, takes all your sins away. Now you can tell why I was so fascinated with the conversation. You know, I'm just listening. And so I told him, so who's Jesus for you? He's like, oh, we call him Isa. And Isa is just a prophet. He's just a prophet. And just to finish this story, he told me, and in the day of judgment, you know, when you die and you're in your coffin right there, there is going to be an angel that comes. And he was going to ask you three questions. First question is, what's your religion? The right answer is Muslim, right? I'm a Muslim, Islam. Okay, who's your prophet? And the right answer is Muhammad. And who's your God? And the right answer is Allah. And if you answer those three questions the right way, you make it to heaven. And I told him, okay, so, I mean, I myself, without being a Muslim, I told him I'm a Christian, by the way. I told him, I'm not a Muslim. However, I already knew those three answers, right? Just because of common knowledge, not because I've studied the Quran or anything like that, but I know those three answers. So am I going to make it? And he's like, no. No, because you won't be able to answer those questions, right? Because it's not in you, the knowledge, because you didn't live, you know, that way. You were not a Muslim before you died. And I said, okay, so then what's going to happen to me? Be ready for this. He told me, your coffin is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller to the point that your bones are going to break. And you're going to feel the pain of being squeezed, you know, by the coffin. And I told him, so are you telling me that when you're there, you feel them? He's like, yes. You feel the pain of your bones being broken. And I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, and do you believe that? Of course, I didn't ask the question. So I asked him, bro, where do you guys get this from? I mean, where is this coming from? From the Quran? He's like, yes, from the Quran. Exactly. That the rest of the time, my eyes were just like this, like, man, how sad. How sad. I have a friend that believes that. And that just made me wonder. I wondered if I believe the same thing that I just call it Christianity. I wondered if you just believe that doing this, I'm good to go. Or if doing that, I'm good to go. I did take the opportunity to explain. This is what I believe. I believe what the Bible says. I cannot save myself. You know, I'm not good enough. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And by believing in Him, believing in Jesus, this will lead me and take me to good deeds. But this doesn't save me. This is just the consequences of what I believe. They go together. They go together. They go together. James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If our faith does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. That sounds really fun, by the way. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from work is dead. How about that? That is a good challenge for each one of us. And I'm going to invite you to keep investing time in the Word of God. And this is the one subject topic that I want to talk to you about, that I've been challenged. I'm talking about me, okay? I am not, you are not spending enough time in the Word of God. I have to say it. And I hope when you hear this, it doesn't push you down. It doesn't make you feel like, well, I guess I'm not good enough. I'm out. Sorry, guys, I cannot make it. Time out. I'm out of here. Not that way, but the opposite. I hope this is an encouragement. And I'll tell you a conversation that I had a week ago. I had a business meeting with three brothers. So it was four of us. All of them, Christians. For an hour and a half, we talked about the Word of God. And for 30 minutes, we talked about business. It was awesome. It was like going to church. It was so thick and heavy in a good way. You know what I mean? You know about the Word of God. That I actually took notes of the conversation. It was so good. It was so good. And then this brother challenged me without telling me I'm going to challenge you. Just his experience, what he was explaining, I was so encouraged by it that I thought, man, there is more I can do than just reading the Bible to say, like my friend, I read the Bible, check, good point. There is more than that. Parenthesis, one time, well, let me ask you this. Have you heard about this system, I guess, in which you can read the whole Bible in 1 year? Have you heard about that? I don't know if you practice. I'm not going to ask you, don't worry. I'm not sure if you try this year to read the whole Bible, you know, in 1 year. Anyways, whatever. So it sounds great. It sounds good to me, to be honest. You know, I've tried it. One time I was with a friend in Mexico. And, you know, we're having this conversation and he told me, bro, I need more of the Word of God. And I'm like, amen, bro. You know, everybody does. And he's like, yeah, this year I don't. And I know this guy. He's not trying to show off, okay? So don't take it in that way. He's like, man, this year I only read the Bible 5 times. I was like, say that again? Yeah, I just read it 5 times. And I'm trying to do the math. Like, how many times did I read it? Like 0.7 maybe? I don't think I finished it this year. I know it's not comparison, you know, but I was just like, wow, that is really awesome that you think that way. He's like, yeah, I just, bro, it's the Word of God. Come on. We have access to the Word of God. We need to spend time in the Word of God. Going back to my conversation with these brothers, one of them was saying, bro, if your heart is not the Word, he said something like, you know, if you're not spending the time being diligent and intentional in the Word of God is not going to be in your heart, and your heart is not going to be in the Word of God. And I thought, well, I get it, right? But, for instance, in this case, man, to read the Bible 5 times a year, that's amazing. You know, that's a lot of time, unless you read really fast. Not my case in English anyways. So, and then he told me, well, let me share this with you. You know, he got his phone. You know, I have this app, and he showed me a Bible app. So I listen to the Bible now. You know, sometimes it's just easier as I'm driving, as I'm doing something, stuff. And then he said, this is the 13th. That means 10 plus 3. 13 times in this year that I'm reading the Bible. How about that? Do you think you need to read the Bible more? Incredible. That was such an encouragement to me. I was like, what? Come on. Elaborate on that. He's like, yeah, I listen to the Bible. You know how many hours it takes to listen to the Bible in normal voice speed from beginning to the end? And I'm like, I have no idea. 72 hours. If you don't stop it, of course, you know, without pause, vroom, from the beginning to the end. 72 hours. Do you think we have 72 hours out of, I don't know how many hours are in a year, but do you think we do have 72 hours? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You see the challenge here? We can spend more time. Now, I'm not saying this to compare ourselves to this brother. Okay? Amen. Brother, amen. And like I told you many times, if you're going to read the Bible, don't read it 24/7. Read it 24/6. So you have one day to practice what you're reading. Does that make sense? Because then we can be like, oh, no, I'm super holy. I don't even go out, man. I just read the Bible. That's it. Oh, come on. We need community, right? We need this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this with a lot of love. If your time with the Word of God is here, I'm sorry, but you're lacking a lot. I have done it. I'm talking about myself. I have done it. I know what it is to go to church for years without reading the Bible and believing that what you get out of here is going to be enough for the week. We are being, what was the word, bombarded? I had to ask my wife, how do you say this in English? We're being bombarded by media, society, by everything, about a bunch of stuff, a lot of things, many of them. Diseases, presidential stuff, laws that we got from the government. And you know, and they're not necessarily bad, right? Because that's just the reality. But you're also being bombarded with gender things and unicorns and whatever, you name it. Okay? And not only that, we're being bombarded also in the church, right? With systems. And I mean, if you go out there and listen to some people, man, they preach things that is like, how did you come up with that idea from the Bible? We're being bombarded from everywhere. Now, regardless if you want to be affected or not by that, regardless if you don't want to be affected, you are being affected by it. Okay? And I'll give you a very simple example. How many of you believe that carrots are good? Man, cucumbers and carrots. This is a really good preaching today. You know, vegetables. Carrots are good. Okay, carrots are good. Anybody knows why? Why are carrots good? For your eyes, because they have vitamin A, right? They have vitamin K and some sort of minerals, low in calories, you name it, whatever. So carrots are good. How many of you knew that if you eat too many carrots, you can actually get sick? You do, brother. Do you know what the name of the sickness is?
I just know my skin got yellow.
So you already experienced it.
I drink too much carrot juice.
Exactly. If you drink too much carrot juice, or if you eat too many, you get this thing called, of course, I don't know the English version, carotenemia. Which is a lot of carotene in your blood. And your skin turns either yellow or orange. That's interesting. I mean, it is not like you eat one carrot and boom, you turn orange. That would be weird. You know, it's little by little. Little by little. And carrots are good. I mean, we don't consider them like something bad. Following me? Same thing. If you're not feeding yourself with the Word of God, you're being fed by something else. And whatever is being planted in your heart, guess what? That's what the fruit is going to be. Now, my challenge is that we bombard ourselves with the Word of God. That we put the Word of God everywhere, in our hearts, everywhere, in our activities, that we will be constantly listening to the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about, I remember one time I was probably 9 or 10, I visited a friend of mine, and they had a little, you know, a little thing like this in his house, like a little pulpit, and there was a Bible opened over there. You know, and I mean, I went in, and I saw that, and I'm like, I can tell right away that thing's special. I don't know what it is, but it's special. It had a whole, like, an altar thing around, you know? And so I go see what it is, and my friend is like, hey, you cannot read that. I was like, why not? What is it? That is the Bible. You're not supposed to read it. Only the priest can read it. You're not supposed to read it. And I'm like, why do you have it over there then? He's like, well, because it's the Bible, it's the Word of God. At least he got that right. It's the Word of God. You know, it just cleans the house. You know, it's like a special thing. All right? And I mean, listen, I grew up without this thing, so I'm like, wow. Man, I didn't know that. That's so special. Guys. I love when one day Phil was sharing, he said, this is going to take you to hell. And I'm like, about to, Phil, what are you saying, bro? He's like, this is going to take you to hell. But this is going to take you to heaven. Brothers, we have access to the Word of God. Let's be honest, we're not spending enough time in the Word of God. I'm not trying to show off. I try to practice what this brother said, you know, about putting the app. And in 2 days, I went through Genesis and Exodus. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, come on, that's not possible. You know, as I am working, I know some people might say, no, you need to be a part. And I do that part too, okay? But I just thought, instead of listening to trash from different websites that is easy to play music or whatever, instead of feeding myself with that, what if I just feed myself as I work with the Word of God? It's amazing. And you know, you learn details, small things. Some of those stories are bizarre, of course, right? Like Lot and his daughters. I mean, that story is crazy. But sometimes you forget because it's been a long time since we read it. So, James 4:17 says, so, actually, let me go back to 13. It says, come now, James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. I'm still trying to figure out what this means, in if it applies to the Word of God. Because if you know that something is good, you go for that. Why is it then that it's sometimes hard to spend time in the Word of God? I get it. I struggle with it sometimes. I don't want to read it sometimes. But I need it. We need it. We are here, but we need to go in that direction intentionally. However that looks like, 5 or 10 minutes, 3 verses, 1 chapter. I mean, we're not talking about, it needs to be a certain amount. We're not talking about reading the Bible 13 times in a year. Amazing if you can. Amazing if you have the time. You know, it's about being transformed by it. Yes, but it will take you over here. We need to walk. We need to do something ourselves in this direction. Even if it is little by little. We need to bombard ourselves with the Word of God. I'm preaching to myself. I am preaching to myself. I need it. And I want it. I need it and I want it. I can tell the difference. I can tell the difference of when I'm listening to random stupid videos. It actually affects me without noticing. later I can see, like, man, why am I concerned about these things? And some of them are not necessarily bad videos, right? But it affects you. Our desire for this body of Christ, for this part of the body of Christ, maybe we're a little finger, but our desire for this body of Christ is that we all grow together in the Word of God. Amen. We all grow together in the Word of God. Regardless if one day you're going to be here speaking in front of everybody or somebody's going to ask you to share something, regardless of that, we all need it. We all need it. That's the challenge. Don't try to compare yourself with anybody, but move in that direction. Move in that direction. That way, you will get knowledge, understanding that will lead you to take actions. And the very important part is that you're not going to be easily deceived. When somebody comes to you and tells you, oh, you should give me your money because it is in the Bible. Okay, let's talk about that. What part of the Bible is that? Thank you. Or that two men can get married. Wait. Where in the Bible is that? Like I heard this guy that the reason why God the Father created Eve for Adam is because Adam was committing bestiality. Can you imagine? I mean, how perverted is the mind, how wicked we are as humans. That even this, we will take it to an extreme stupid thing. And the worst part is that everybody was, amen, brother, preach it. The body needs to read the Bible too. You see? It's not only the guy that comes here. It's everybody needs to read the Bible. Not only for your own self, but because we're brothers and sisters. You can help me too. We can help each other. We need to read the Bible. Conclusion. We need to read the Bible. Don't worry about the minutes. Don't worry about the time. Just start with something. Spend time in the Word of God. Let's do it together. It's not a competition. It's not a competition. Let's start with something. You want an idea? Get the book of James. Take the book of James and then go with Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, and then go with John. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have revealed to us the truth of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made it clear. Thank you that you've made it also possible for us to get to know you through your word. God, I pray that you awaken each one of us the desire of spending, investing time in your word, Lord. That we can be more diligent in our time with you, that we grow together as a body in your word, in the knowledge, in the understanding of your word, and that will grow in our hearts and transform us to take actions and to move in that direction. We don't want to have faith without works and works without faith. We don't want a dead faith. Father, I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters in this place and the ones that didn't make it this time. And for the body of Christ, that you keep working in us. Thank you Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love and for your grace, for your mercy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This will be easier. How's that? How's that? Okay. All right. So we're going to have communion. And I just had some thoughts from the Word of God to everyone. Good. Anyone need a break or get some water, coffee? Feel free to do that. Okay. I just have about four scriptures. And my heart is full. Sarah, she's doing it again. Tell me. My heart is very full of so many thoughts. And sometimes I'm sure we've all been preaching for so long, it's a matter of like bringing those down, condensing. There's so much, but and then just what Elise shared, kind of tying it together. Cause as I'm thinking how faith and works, right? It seems like so much of what Jesus in the communion of remembering what he did, the Word and the flesh, the blood, his actions. He was the Word of God, came down, right? But it wasn't just the words, it was the actions he did, right? And just before I forget about, go along with what Elise said, I heard this a long time ago, and something, to be helpful for us, like, it's great to get to go through the Word of God, but what's so much more about is getting it through us, you know? Getting into the Bible, but getting the Word into us is what it's really about. And that's what communion is about. So I just have a few scriptures here to kind of help. I think that maybe it'll help some of our understanding, maybe add something or a reminder of what this is about. And in John 6, I'll just read these scriptures, but Jesus talked about this during his ministry, not just at the what we call the Last Supper, what was called the Last Supper. In chapter 6, 53, it says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him." And then, so I'm going to go down to 63. Jesus says, so a lot of people had trouble with that. Like, what is he saying? Like, what does this mean, right? Jesus said, it's the Spirit that quickens, gives understanding, gives life, gives, takes the God word and makes it real to us. The flesh, the carnal thing about it is does not profit anything. The words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. So Jesus' words have a deep spiritual meaning, God's word. And the word became flesh, right? The word of God, which is more, we have it here, but the word in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. Is also called the logos, right? The mind, the thoughts, the visible, the attributes of God, right? Jesus became them. He was them, right? And so the taking communion is a, you know, it's called remembrance, reminding ourselves of doing this, of what we need to be doing all the time, right? Of communing with God. And how do we do that? By taking His taking Him into us, taking His Word into us, and it becoming a part of us, right? And how do we do that? I mean, it's a spiritual thing, right? And I believe this is of the Lord. There's a way to interpret things and understand. You know, Jesus said Himself, the Word. You know, bread is like the Word. You know, He says, "My flesh is meat." It means food, right? So, the Word is bread. It's called bread, right? We can't live by bread alone. So taking it into us and let it become a part of us. And then when Jesus says, and drinking His blood, it has a lot to do with, I always think like this, drinking and thinking, because that's what it is. How else do we do it? Remembrance, we're recollecting, it's the thoughts of God that come from our heart and our mind. So we engage to think on the things He said, to bring, and that's how we assimilate them into us. And that's what, just try to stir that up. That's what, and communion together, communion means fellowship or participation. We're participating in it together, right? Individually and together. Okay. The next, so just keep all those things in mind now and going forward, in our life, how we have communion with Jesus is so much through His Word. But as Ali was saying, it's not just hearing it, it's doing it. So it's like you got the flesh and the blood, they go together. The life is in the blood, it's the life of living it out. And as we walk it out, I mean, we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ as we go on. So communion is a reminder, to the degree that we engage our faith, acknowledging we want Jesus in us. We want the life of Jesus Christ. Okay. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about examine ourselves to see that we do it not in an unworthy manner. And I just wanted to say a couple things about that. When you think about that, here's John the Baptist is one who said he was not worthy to tie Jesus' shoes, right? There was a centurion that Jesus went to his house, and he was like, "No, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house." Jesus did deem them worthy. Jesus deemed them worthy. He healed this man's daughter. John the Baptist, he said there had not been a greater person among people in this earth. And then you have Peter, when he first was meeting Jesus, he had heard of Him. He's like, "Lord, leave me. I'm not worthy to be in Your presence. Depart from me, because I'm sinful." The point being that what the worthiness is, at least very much in part, is not, am I judging that I am doing so great, in my life? I mean, we do want to examine ourselves, but if there's a time when we're what makes us worthy is the neediness, the discerning the Lord's body, knowing that we need Him, we need His life, right? And all the more if there's been something that we're that we're struggling with, all the more we need Jesus' life. And in the context of the eating and drinking, I'm not going to get so much into it. I saw it so much more clearly this morning, is that a lot of it had the worthiness is discerning the Lord's body, Jesus Christ, right? That we don't want to, we want to be reverent. We want to be truly appreciating and acknowledging all He did for us, but also has to do equally as much with His body, with the body of believers. And it's directly in the context. So there was things going on in that church. They were like dividing and separating and stuff like this. that it's very important that when we come partake of the Lord's Supper, that like we're embodying love with one another, you know. And I was on the way here with Anna, I was like, it's a blessing, you know. I don't never sense any of that, you know. In this body of believers, I'm very happy to be here with you all and to share the word and to partake what we're going to partake together. We watched a great example. We went and saw the Bonhoeffer movie, right? And towards the end of end of his life, without giving too much away, before he went to be executed, or no, I think it was the morning of. I believe it was the morning of being executed. The other prisoners that were with him, they weren't all pastors like he was. He was being, he was getting martyred for his faith. One of the guards came up, one of the ones that was ushering them along, a Nazi guard, came up. They were going to, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was leading this group of prisoners. They asked him, they said, please shepherd our souls. They're about to die. And so he was having a communion service with them. And then one of the guards came in. He wanted to be a part of it. He knew what was going on. He wanted to be a part of it. The others were like looking at him. How can he be worthy? He's not worthy. And it was beautiful. He said, it's the Lord. The Lord calls and says, come eat. It's the Lord's table. He decides who is worthy. It's not for other people to decide who's worthy, not worthy, you know. I'll end that talking with this, but in Psalm 86, these are the thoughts I always think about when coming to communion. 1 and 2. David says, David's a prophet. David's a man like us, man of like passions, you know. He had lots of struggle. He had a heart after God, that God really loved him. He loved because he loved God. I'm going to read 2 first, then 1. He says, preserve my soul, O God, for I am holy. O my God, save your servant that trusts in you. Sounds kind of, I don't think I ever pray to God, I'm holy, you know. What it means is he meant, holy means set apart, not perfectly holy like God, but set apart to God. He was setting God apart, but he said, but bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Poor and needy, because he was poor and needy, he could say he was holy with God, before God. And so few people would, maybe with this understanding, we could say that when we get to the place, I'm set apart to you, God. You know, I want my life to be holy before you. But a lot of people don't want to say, I'm poor and needy. You don't want to say that to another person, but to God, we're, you know, the recognition, like, I am poor and needy, right? If we need what God has for us, we need his salvation. So try to prepare our hearts and just add some depth to the communion. And one more verse. I was going to maybe make this part of our prayer, but in Psalm 116, again, David who had times when he really sinned against God, but he always came back and repented, and he learned to separate himself, set apart his spirit towards God, and more and more separate himself from the from his sin. In 12 he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? What can I give unto God? You know, what can we do for God for all he does for us? He said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what we can do. We can receive what he's done for us. And what I love about communion, it's like, hey, it's like levels of playing field. No one's, coming to like, oh, I'm doing so awesome, or it's a reminder that if I'm doing awesome, if you're doing awesome, it's because of the Lord and what he's done for us. And that keeps us humble, keeps us, and if we're not doing so, awesome. We're poor and needy before God. That's a place to be too. Okay. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. In that spirit and that his attitude, that's we will do the communion. So, you know, one other thing I was thinking about was, and it says in 1 Corinthians 10 about how, using about communion, it says those that, in the Israelites and in the Old Testament, it says they that offer the sacrifices were partaker of the altar. Like, that's what we're doing. It's just, you know, you do this, it's communion, it's partaking of the whole thing, the altar, the whole, I mean, some people might not think, some people... It took me a lot. I didn't know it for a long time. There's like all this stuff in the Old Testament about sacrificing of lambs and, you know, there's all the blood being spilled of sin. All that stuff, all of it, was pointing forward to Jesus Christ. So that when the time came along when John pointed out and identified the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, it all clicked. It's all, you know, it all makes sense and comes around a full circle. So when we partake of the communion, it's partaking and participating in everything that the Lord has done for us. Okay, so we can line up and go grab the bread and the juice and then get it, and then we'll sit together and we'll just pray and eat it. Everyone's invited. I'm not going to sing a song. let's pray. I'll pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son.
Yes, hallelujah.
Jesus, we thank you, you who are the Word, becoming flesh, coming amongst us. And great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Lord, as we partake together, we just acknowledge we need more of your life. Together, we want more of your life inside of us. So we acknowledge you as who you are, and we partake of you, your life, your word, all you are together. And we thank you for your blood, for your life. You didn't just come to teach us and give us an example, but you followed it all the way through. Mm-hmm. Lay down your life, paved the way for us to come be with you. And so we want to esteem that very highly and remember, Lord, we bring ourselves to you, and we want your blood to flow through our bodies and transform us more into your likeness. Amen. Amen. Yeah, my wife reminded me, I think last night, a friend of ours, a dear friend, Jeremiah, when he administered communion, he always wanted to remind that it's supposed to be a time of Thanksgiving. That's what it's called. And not, you know, didn't really like too much of the somberness of it, but you know, there's the seriousness and the reverence. But to remember, you know, to just rejoice and to celebrate the life of Christ together. You want me to make the announcements? I'm here. I don't have any announcements. So, meal? You having lunch together? Okay. Having lunch together? A book study this week?
Yep.
At Phil's house?
John's
house, sorry. Done. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you for this time, rich time of fellowship.
Amen.
May we continue in communion with you, not just here together, but individually as we go, because often that's where you fill us the most deeply. And you get deep into our hearts and lives is what we want. Help us to abide in you and to be a blessing to you. And we thank you for this meal that's to come. And we bless you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.